It's now the 31st day since Israel launched a war on Gaza. The besieged Palestinian territory is under back-to-back airstrikes and shelling, which are wreaking devastation and pushing the civilian death toll further. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the Israeli military carried out intense bombings on Sunday evening around several hospitals in northern Gaza. According to Hamas, the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital witnessed heavy aerial strikes. Dozens were also killed in separate strikes on a residential area near the Gaza port. 20 of the victims were from the same family. One of the survivors of the attacks or the attack recalled the moment Israeli warplanes rained down bombs on them.
We were at home when the Israeli warplanes shelled Al-Shati refugee camp with white phosphorus. The targeted area was engulfed with huge fires. Minutes later, a thick black cloud covered the area and we couldn't see anything. As soon as I entered my house, I saw the houses of my uncles were down and several other houses were destroyed, killing more than 70 people, including 40 children.
Since the beginning of Israel's onslaught on Gaza, there have been multiple reports showing the regime's use of internationally banned white phosphorus bombs on civilians. The war is coupled with the regime's crippling blockade, which is worsening the humanitarian situation. Israel has even refused to allow injured Palestinians to be evacuated and moved to Egypt for treatment. In response, Hamas suspended the evacuation of foreign passport holders to Egypt for a second day in a row on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Israeli military is pressing ahead with its ground invasion. It claims that the land assault has split the Palestinian territory into two parts. The total death toll of Israel's war on Gaza is now over 9,700, most of them women and children. Palestinians in Gaza are witnessing death and destruction every day, and those not dead are currently struggling with their basic needs. UN data says more than 1.4 million Gazans have been displaced as a shortage of food, water, medicines, fuel and other essential supplies have reached critical levels. The residents in the besieged Gaza Strip speak of the difficulties they are facing, calling their situation a horrific nightmare.
They told me at least we fled the fire in Gaza City. We just left everything and fled. God deals with those who caused this. God help us. We don't have food for children to eat.
We are struggling to provide displaced people with just one meal. We are even running out of fire with no gas. We are asking the entire world to support us. This is very difficult. We are not even back 20 years in time. We are back to the Stone Age. We are asking countries to support us for dignity and pride.
We are suffering. Every day we are suffering. We are no longer familiar with vegetables. Tomatoes, cucumbers, and potatoes have all been erased from our lives completely. We only have bread and water to quiet the kids so they sleep at night.
The situation is very difficult and we have faced many difficulties too. There is no bread, no water, nothing. There is even no salt water. Tanks in front of us, dead bodies. The situation is very scary, especially for the kids.
People went to safe shelters claimed by the Israeli army, but still suffered from their air attacks. Our people were attacked, no matter we take shelters in schools, hospitals, and even ambulances protected by the United Nations. In this hospital, generators almost stopped running because of lack of fuel. The pastry shop is closed because of the lack of natural gas. People here are struggling to find some medicine, food or water, but they can't find it.
Our correspondent has asked some residents in the occupied West Bank about their take on the United States' role in the crimes being committed against Palestinians in Gaza and what measures should be taken to stop Israeli atrocities.
Not only are they playing an active role, they are primarily responsible. Israel would not have the capabilities, military, technological, financial, to continue with this genocide if it was not for the full and unstipulated backing of the United States.
Of course, America is not turning a blind eye. It's just being totally ignorant about what's happening, taking one side and totally forgetting the other side. Just because of their democratic liberation beliefs that it's only considered to itself, not when it comes to the Arabs or anyone or or any Arab state.
We believe that it is time for the Arab world to go back to boycott this colonial project in the Middle East. It is a sign that the whole colonial system is reorganizing itself again in this part of the world. We are defending not only Palestine, we are defending also other Arab states, Arab countries. It is time to employ the Arab capacities and the Arab abilities to support the Palestinian people and to defend us.
We want more action. We want more pressure on Israel and on the United States to cease fire now, because this has to stop. People are being killed in Gaza. Children are being bombed in incubators. Newborns are killed. People are running out of water. They're running out of food. There is no support for these civilians who are being killed. So we need help for these civilians.
United States is not playing a role. United States is a partner in this aggression against the Palestinian people. Blinken and his president, yani, playing a very dirty role. From one side, they give the support, financial, military, political, media. Either they make the big lies in the beginning of the aggression by saying or by repeating that Palestinians slaughtered some kids, which was discovered soonly that it was a lie. But unfortunately, they haven't the courage to regret, because it was the motivation to mobilize the world in this war against the Palestinian by saying that Hamas and the other resistant factions are Daesh and the new Nazis to facilitate or to give a legitimacy for their illegitimate war. United States is mobilizing all the their alliances, mainly the European countries, Britain, France, Italy, Germany, and some others.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution once again strongly deplores the crimes committed by Israel, with the direct support of the United States and some Western countries. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remark in a meeting with visiting Hamas political bureau chief Ismail Haniyeh. Iran's leader emphasized the need for serious actions by international organizations and full practical support of Islamic countries for the people of Gaza. Ayatollah Khamenei also reiterated Iran's unwavering support for the Palestinian resistance fighters. In this meeting, the Hamas official gave a report on the situation in Gaza as well as the West Bank. Iran's foreign minister has urged the BRICS group of major emerging economies to intervene to stop the ongoing Israeli war on Gaza. In a letter to BRICS members, Hossein Amir Abdullahian called for active, constructive, and responsible intervention aimed at ending crimes against humanity. He touched upon the significant role of BRICS and other non-Western blocs, such as the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, urging them to put the issue of Gaza on their immediate agendas. Amir Abdullahian added that the occupation of Palestinian territories, massacre of people, strikes on medical facilities are just some parts of the crimes being perpetrated by the Israeli regime against the people of Palestine. The Iranian foreign minister has also called on the UN to take necessary measures to put an immediate and unconditional stop to Israel's war on Gaza and lift the siege of the Strip. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the call in a letter to UN Chief Antonio Guterres. He said Israel is committing war crimes in Gaza, adding that the regime has violated more than 30 UN Security Council resolutions so far. Amir Abdullahian told Guterres that Israel has blatantly breached international law during 75 years of the occupation of Palestinian territories. The top Iranian diplomat said the international community must mobilize to prevent a disaster from taking place in Gaza. The Iranian president calls the Israeli regime's heinous crimes and massacre of nearly 10,000 Palestinians the biggest genocide of the century. Ebrahim Raisi underscored the plight of the Palestinian people in a phone call or phone conversation with head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis. He said Israel's brutalities against innocent women and children in Gaza are a flagrant example of crimes against humanity. Raisi added that the Israeli regime, with its bombardment of Gaza, is exercising apartheid not only against Palestinian Muslims, but against other divine faiths as well. He noted that supporting the oppressed Palestinians today amounts to following the teachings of all Abrahamic religions, including Christianity. He called on Pope Francis to urge the Western states backing the Israeli regime to speed up efforts to stop the crimes against Palestinians. The U.S. and Israel are feeling the heat from the world when it comes to Israeli bombing campaign in Gaza and the massacre of Palestinians. People have rallied worldwide, condemning Israel and the U.S. for continuing the war and not opting for a ceasefire. Here's more.
The Gaza Strip skyline. Israel's bombing campaign continues. An apocalyptic scene. It appears Israel is using the banned white phosphorus bombs again. Bombs which burns the skin down to the bone. The death toll continues to mount, like here at the Al-Maghazi camp. 51 Palestinians murdered. Another massacre on top of the others. Genocide on speed. The cries over the loss of a beloved one. Which is why people are angry worldwide. But this rally took the cake. The biggest rally for Palestinians ever to have taken place in Washington, D.C. The war is coming at a cost for Israel. Diplomatically, Bolivia cut off relations with Israel, with Turkey, Colombia, Chad, and Honduras recalling their ambassadors. Persian Gulf Arab leaders meeting with the U.S. Secretary of State. They all called for a ceasefire, but Blinken did not blink. No to a ceasefire, and on a humanitarian pause, a big maybe.
It's our view that a ceasefire now would simply leave Hamas in place.
Yet Blinken had only echoed Netanyahu's statements on a ceasefire.
Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas.
David Petraeus, the retired general of the U.S. Army, responsible in part for his failure in Afghanistan and also in Iraq, in a leaked audio file, encouraged and approved Israel's carnage in Gaza.
I see no alternative to the destruction of Hamas, and I use that term specifically because, as Aviv knows, there's a military doctrinal term. It's a gradation. You know, you can disrupt, you can deny, you can defeat, you can destroy.
But he must not have been prepared for what an Israeli minister said when asked whether an atomic bomb should be dropped on the Gaza Strip. Amihai Eliyahu said this is one of the possibilities. Let's not forget, the Gaza Strip has already been hit by an atomic bomb. But not at once. Slowly. 25,000 tons dropped on the strip so far. The resistance fighters slammed these comments as reflective of the evil and terrorist nature of the regime, while they fought street battles against the Israeli regime forces. Israel has suffered casualties as a result.
The Israeli war on Gaza is coming at a cost for Israel, $51 billion U.S. dollars and counting. Then there is the diplomatic cost. Many countries are recalling their ambassadors, with one country, Bolivia, to have cut its relations completely. And then there is the financial cost as a result of boycotting Israeli products, which means Israel is suffering a loss on almost every level.
The tide may be turning, with costs mounting for the U.S. and Israel. For Israel, the worldwide anti-Israel protests have shattered its image. These protests have also worked against the U.S.
It's definitely ceasefire. People are getting killed every minute.
In the U.S., there are worries about the aftermath of the war. It's time for Israel's friends to recognize that the current operational approach is causing an unacceptable level of civilian harm and does not appear likely to achieve the goal of permanently ending the threat from Hamas, is what this high-ranking senator said. In other words, the U.S. is at the phase of the war where people are starting to worry about how they will look when this is over. And they are worried about votes also, as cynical as that sounds. Muslim and Arab American groups have threatened to not vote for Biden in 2024. This includes Democratic Party leaders from contested states that can decide elections, such as Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. That, combined with the sanctioning of Israeli products, which has also gained traction, especially amongst the Generation Zs in the U.S., and not just in the U.S., but around the world.
The Lebanese Prime Minister has condemned an Israeli strike on a car with four occupants in southern Lebanon. Najib Mikati said the vehicle in which three children and their grandmother had been traveling was targeted by drones. In the meantime, four paramedics were also wounded when, based on reports, Israeli drones fired missiles at two ambulances in southern Lebanon. The Lebanese Foreign Minister has said that his country will submit a complaint to the United Nations over the killing of civilians, including children, in Israeli strikes. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah said it fired rockets at Israeli targets near the border in response to the attacks. Tensions have been running high along Lebanon's southern border since October the 7th, with Israel and Hezbollah frequently exchanging fire. Well, those are the top stories for this hour. Thank you for being with us. Take care and bye-bye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله.
in the limelight.
The stories of Palestinian victims should inspire people around the world to stand up for peace, demand an end to the Zionist occupation, and work for a future in which the Palestinian people can live without oppression and fear. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "There is an urgent need to look beyond the statistics in Gaza, even as the death toll keeps rising. Casualties are not mere numbers. They represent the lives, dreams, and hopes of a people experiencing barbaric aggression by the Zionist regime's military. Let us reflect, too, on the pain of everyone who has been bereaved. Ahmad is a father of three. He recently found himself rushing with his children to a shelter as air raid sirens sounded. His wife, Fatime, was visiting her elderly parents a few blocks away. Fatime was killed when the Zionist regime fired a missile at her parents' home. Ahmad said, I have seen how quickly our lives could fall apart. Words cannot describe the pain I've left with. No one should have to go through this type of loss. The most painful aspect of the war is the toll it takes on children. Farah, 8, has already witnessed two wars in her short life, each more devastating than the previous one. She said, it's really scary. I want to be a teacher, but sometimes I can't go to school because of the loud noises of Israeli bombs, drones, and F-16s. I lost my close friend, Nora, who used to live next to our house. I used to do homework and study with her for exams. I will miss her a lot. As a first-year student, Muhammad was full of enthusiasm. He had hoped that through studying in the Islamic University of Gaza, he would not only gain knowledge, but contribute toward building a brighter future for his community. That was before the Zionist regime caused immense destruction to the university. Muhammad said, the campus was not just a physical space. It represented my dreams and the dreams of many others. The Israelis have destroyed everything. They destroyed all the beautiful places where we had made the most wonderful memories with families and friends. Salva, 26, is an inspiring architect. She has worked tirelessly to realize her goal of designing sustainable buildings for her neighborhood. Her life was turned upside down when the Zionist regime bombed the building in which he lives. Salva is nonetheless adamant that she will pursue her ambitions. She said, I imagine that sustainable architecture will rise from the ashes of this genocide in Gaza. Despite the tragedy surrounding me, I am clinging to hope. I'm holding on to my dream of a better tomorrow. In Gaza today, there are parents who cannot accept that they have lost children. There are parents who are haunted by the thought that a child was hungry when he or she was killed. There are people who insist on having a lock of hair from a loved one before a burial takes place, a tiny piece of a person who was cherished. There are people hoping against all the odds that members of their family who were trapped beneath rubble will somehow be rescued. There are people sharing poignant memories, such as the memory of a daughter's wedding that took place just before this latest war began.
There are people who put all their savings into their homes only to see everything bombed to pieces. There are people who had been planning celebrations. There are girls who were talented artists. Other children who wanted to be doctors. The genocide that the Zionist regime is committing in Gaza is not an abstract geopolitical issue. It is a humanitarian crisis that requires immediate global attention. The stories of victims should inspire people around the world to stand up for peace, demand an end to the Zionist regime's occupation, and work for a future in which the Palestinian people can live without fear. We must remember that people killed in Gaza are not just statistics shown on a screen. They led lives, short lives, in too many cases. The people of Gaza and every corner of Palestine deserve better. Ever since the Nakba in 1948, that was ethnic cleansing of Palestine, Palestinian lives have been defined by Zionist regimes imposed violence and suffering. The stories of people killed during this war should serve as a call for justice and liberation. Palestine stretches from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. All of it should be free, with Al-Quds as the capital. People of the world must challenge the status quo and raise their voices for peace. In the future, Palestinian people must be allowed to thrive rather than just survive.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Viewpoint. I am Bita, and once again, I have the chance and opportunity to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And here with me, there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, dear listeners, before going through the topic of today's episode, you can listen to more episodes by checking parstoday.ir, page Call of Islam. In today's episode, specifically, we're talking about the concept of Satan, or Satan, that it has many different names, like Lucifer, Devil, and different cultures. We can refer to this Satan by different names and different stories. And as you know, since the time that we were children, we were listening to these stories, the religious stories, like the story of the creation of human beings, like the story of Satan being expelled from heaven because of the disobedience for the demands of Allah Almighty, that told him that you have to bow your head in front of the human beings, and he refused in this story and so on. But these days, because of the evidence-based science that is helping us to live, the point of view that most of the people have about these kind of things is changing. We think that maybe Satan is not in existence. Maybe it's a kind of metaphor for the inner desires that we have that persuades us to do something bad or good. So the main question here is that, does Satan exist or not? Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Shaitan or Satan does exist from the Islamic perspective. And not only from the Islamic perspective, but also in the other sacred scriptures. I mean, Bible, for example, if you refer to Torah and Injil, Old Testament and New Testament, maybe in other, let's say, sacred scriptures of the other religions, if you refer, of course, it is totally confirmed by these scriptures that Satan is a creature who was created by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, Satan was not a Satan at the beginning. He was a great worshipper of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, he was among jinn, which is a group of creatures, not human, neither human nor angels. It is a different creature. But of course, he was a very good, we can say, servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you rightly mentioned, in the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, so of course, this jinn was ordered, whose name was Azazil, and he was ordered to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, but he decided to refuse because of his arrogance. He said that I was created, because you know that jinns, according to the Holy Quran, are created from the fire, from the light.
Yeah.
And Adam is created from the clay. So that's why he said to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am better than Adam.
Yeah.
Because I am, my existence or my creation is from the fire light. Then why should I prostrate for a creature who is from clay? Then Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm ordering you to have to prostrate because this Adam is the best creature among all the creatures. And you have to prostrate. But he, out of his arrogance, he did not obey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this disobedience of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he became Satan. Because, you know, this arrogance is a kind of satanic quality that we can find in these creatures. So that's why whoever follows this method of Satan, he can be also termed as the followers of Satan, or at the end of the day, as Satan.
Yeah.
So this is the story of the creation of Satan. So Satan does exist, is a creature, and since he disobeyed Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was named and titled as Satan. But before that, he was among the good creatures, good, let's say, worshippers and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, thank you, Sheikh, for sharing this background about Satan with us. But Brother Ali, is there any way to prove the existence of Satan or not?
In Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Yes, as the brother said, the existence of Satan or Shaitan is proven intellectually and even from even by referring to the evidences from Quran and Sunnah. So it is quite, I mean, easy to prove from the bases and principles of religion and even intellectually that there are some existences that they do exist, but we might not necessarily be able to see them, as there are lots of other things in the creation that they do exist, but we do not see them. Like, I mean, some of the waves, some of the particles like electrons and photons, that they were not, I mean, they couldn't be seen. But, I mean, out of the development of science and knowledge, now there are even some instruments or some devices that we can trace, I mean, such things and some of these waves. But definitely they do exist, and even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran says to human beings that Ya bani Adam la yaftanannakum ash-shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. Oh, the children of Adam, let not the Satan to deceive you, to tempt you, the same way that he deceived your parents, that is Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And as the story of the prostration on the Adam, that he refused to prostrate. I mean, so these stories have been narrated and have been looked at from Quranic perspective, and all the mufassirin or interpreters and exegetes of the Holy Quran from different schools of thought and different Islamic denominations have worked and proved the existence of Satan.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Ali. So, after her, we talked about the history of Satan and also some intellectual and physical proof of Satan being existed and the existence of this creature. But as we all are aware, there is this inner sense in everybody, in every individual, that will persuade you to do good deeds or bad deeds, and this is you who decides between these two. But if there is an inner voice that will persuade you to do bad deeds, why should be should there be something like a Satan, some outer and extern energy to persuade you to do something bad? I mean, we have this inner sound. So what is the necessity of existence of Satan?
Should I answer?
Of
course, it's a very important question and also very interesting question for the young generation, that, of course, why there is such a creature who can guide us, or let's say misguide us into the wrong way and the wrong path.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, let's imagine two universe or two world, in one of which is totally determinism and there is no free will and there's no creature with free will. So, and the other universe and the other world is the world in which we have free creatures with free will.
Yeah.
The philosophers are of the view that the second one is the perfect as compared to this, the first one, because if you have any universe, you have a world in which you have creatures with free will, and they can freely decide either to go to the right path or not, either to perfect themselves or not. This system or this world is better than what that one which we have determinism totally and completely. So that's why having this kind of desire or having this kind of capability or capacity either to perfect ourselves, to get closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, or not freely. We ourselves decide, by our own responsibility decide, either to follow the prophets or follow, for example, the satanic, let's say, teachings or instructions. So this kind of universe is better than what we can imagine, a kind of universe, a world in which we have the total determinism. But when it comes to Satan itself, that why Satan was created, we know that Satan was not created as Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is why he was created as the good worshipper, good servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was guiding the other creatures, the other jinns at that time. He was the very great, it is in the wives mentioned that he was a very great lecturer even, or khatib, or orator for the other, let's say, jinns. So, of course, he was created like that way. But since he had this ability to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by free will, so he decided not to follow, not to obey Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he was turn to its satanic phase of life. So we all human beings, we have these two kind of capabilities or possibilities are in front of us.
Yeah.
If you follow the prophets, if you follow the true way, then we will be guided to the right path. Finally, it will lead to the Jannah. But of course, if you decide freely not to follow the prophets, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the imam alayhi salatu wasalam, and the right way, of course, we will also automatically will go the way of Satan, and it will lead to Jannah, to Jahannam, or to the hellfire. So that is why, but Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's desire or will is to all of us should be guided.
Yeah.
All of the human beings should be go to the Jannah, to the paradise. That's why he put inside us an interior, we can say, or inner kind of prophet, which is aql, which is reason and intellect. And also we have external kind of prophets, which are the holy prophets. 124,000 prophets were sent.
Yeah.
So lots of signs are given to us to be guided. So the what you can say, the holistic kind of system or the holistic kind of will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that all of us should be guided. All of us should be sent to the Jannah. All of us should be turned back to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still there is free will, and some people can disobey, can decide not to follow that. Yes.
So the question that remains here is that, it's true that Satan wasn't Satan at first, and there was this story of disobedience by his free will. But the question here is that this opportunity to have an eternity, this time for actually misguiding human beings is the opportunity that Satan wanted from Allah Almighty to have till the day of resurrection. So why is it like that? I mean, it's a choice. It's like a destiny or something.
Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has when Satan decided to go astray and select to tempt others and refuse to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that Allah wanted to put a servant or let's say a creature on the scene of the universe or in the whole universe just to tempt others and to act like, for example, tempters or temptation for others. Since he was refused, expelled from Jannah, then he had a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me the chance to be alive till the day of judgment. But it does not mean that Allah wanted to put this element for the human beings to get them tempted or deceived or misguided. Because he has no power, no pressure on the people. So he presents his own, his own plan and schemes. It's us. I mean, it's us as human beings or the creatures or the servants of God to accept or reject as schemes and plans.
Yeah.
So in actuality, he has no power on us. I mean, it is us due to, our, willingness or eagerness, we go towards him or accept or reject whatever he actually presents to us. So you see, what is the necessity of this? I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agreed with something that he requested. I mean, Allah usually agrees with the whatever request, comes. Even Allah agrees with the request of his creatures.
Yeah.
So this was not necessarily just to, keep an entity to deceive others. No. This sort of influence or effect that Satan has, that some by mystic believe that, he has a sort of, actual or real or functional pressure in human beings is not true. No, because we have free will, and out of our free will, we can choose or refuse whatever comes to us.
Thank you, both Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani, for being here with me and discussing this issue, which I think is an interesting one, specifically for the young generation. And at the end, we get to this point that this is you who decide what to do and what not to do. And free will that you have is a blessing from Allah Almighty. And it is mentioned in many verses in Holy Quran that we showed you the right way, the right path, and the wrong path. And this is you who are responsible to choose the right one. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan ana laha.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
German people are facing higher gas bills. Russia-Ukraine crisis has triggered a spike in energy prices and prompted Germany to seek alternatives to Russian supply while imposing measures to curb use. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Bloomberg, Berlin is planning to restore a 19% sales tax on gas and heat deliveries from the end of this year. The move will effectively end the current discount rate 3 months earlier than planned. The value-added tax on natural gas was cut from 19% to 7% last October to ease the pressure on consumers amid soaring energy costs. The measure was supposed to last until the end of March 2024. According to Deputy German Government Spokesman Wolfgang Büchner, Berlin decided to end the discount early because prices had returned to a normal level more rapidly than expected. The government is in the process of drawing up the legislation needed to enact the change, he told a press conference recently. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for Germany's finance ministry, Oliver Olpen, reportedly said the restoration of the higher rate would lead to a rise in public sector tax revenue of 2.1 billion euros. Germany relied on Russia for roughly 40% of its natural gas prior to 2022 and was among the hardest hit by the reduction in Russian energy deliveries last year, which were almost entirely halted after the EU imposed sanctions on Moscow in response to the conflict in Eastern Europe. A recent report by the German Economy Ministry projected that gas prices in the EU's largest economy are likely to soar and remain high until at least 2027, unless additional emergency measures are taken. According to RT, Germany has continued importing large volumes of Russian oil, turning to India as a substitute supplier after the EU banned almost all crude imports from Moscow in early December. Also, according to a Der Spiegel report, Berlin's imports of petroleum products from India jumped more than 12-fold in January to July 2023, year on year. The value of those imports soared from €37 million in the first 7 months of 2022 to $484 million during the same period of 2023, the outlet's analysis of official data reportedly showed. The imports from India were mainly gas oils that are used to produce diesel or heating oil, the report said, noting that New Delhi has recently been producing a significant proportion of those gas oils from Russian crude oil. Germany, which has historically been the largest EU buyer of Russian oil, stopped imports via pipelines on January 1st, despite the fact that the latest EU embargo exempts piped deliveries to the bloc from the sanctioned country. Official data by German statistical office, the Statis, shows that Berlin's imports of Russian crude oil have ceased almost entirely amid the sanctions. Statistics, however, do not count crude of Russian origin purchased indirectly from global traders through ship-to-ship transfers. According to Der Spiegel, citing data, some volumes of Russian oil bought by India later end up in Germany in some form. Meanwhile, Politico reported enacting stricter building codes in the name of combating climate change may cause a dangerous backlash benefiting the far right. The German finance minister Christian Lindner said in an interview published recently. The Energy Performance Directive is a key provision in European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen's proposed Green Deal package of climate legislation. It would mandate the renovation of older buildings in order to decarbonize the housing stock by 2050. Speaking with Politico recently, Lindner described the plan as enormously dangerous and said it could endanger social peace because people might set in the impression that the policy makes it harder for them to live in their own homes and be able to pay for it. Lindner heads the Free Democratic Party, FDP, a junior partner in Chancellor Olaf Scholz's traffic light ruling coalition. Recently, its parliamentary majority in the Bundestag pushed through a controversial heating bill that banned oil and gas systems in favor of cleaner heat pumps. The popular backlash to the heating bill has served as a lesson about the EU proposal, Lindner told the outlets, adding, "Green mandates and growing body of EU regulations undoubtedly play a role in the rise of parties like Alternative for Germany." Recent polls show the AfD as the second most popular party in Germany with up to 22% support. The Brussels-based bloc says that housing accounts for 35% of the EU's emissions of greenhouse gases and needs to be made more energy efficient in order to meet the 2050 climate goals. Lindner would like the EU to invest the money into other climate-friendly projections instead, such as the bloc's energy infrastructure. He urged von der Leyen to pause the climate agenda amid the economic hardship caused by high energy prices. According to RT, the EU and Germany in particular have faced skyrocketing energy prices after imposing an embargo on Russia. Moreover, the Nord Stream pipeline supplying Germany with Russian natural gas were blown up last September. No one has taken responsibility for the blast, which journalist Seymour Hersh has blamed on the US government, while several US media outlets pointed the finger at Ukraine. Von der Leyen is scheduled to give a State of the European Union speech and intends to reiterate her commitment to the Green Deal, according to unnamed aides who spoke with Politico. She plans to emphasize that the program will benefit EU industry and offer to make sure that the implementation phase is done in almost collaborative way they can imagine.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel continues its intense bombings around several hospitals in northern Gaza Strip as the death toll from the regime's genocidal war nears 10,000. And Iran urges the BRICS members to take active and constructive steps to stop Israel's war crimes against Palestinians. Hello everyone from the studios in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. It's now the 31st day since Israel launched a war on Gaza. The besieged Palestinian territory is under back-to-back airstrikes and shelling, which are wreaking devastation and pushing the civilian death toll further. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the Israeli military carried out intense bombings on Sunday.